Hello out there, and welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna Show. This is Danny, Rihanna's husband.
And this is Rihanna, Danny's wife. And today, we're going to sort of zoom out a little bit from our usual perspectives as gaming content creators and reviewers. We're going to try to consider sort of the broader view of what gamers are really looking for. And this is not necessarily trying to dictate what people should do, but more just us reading the tea leaves and seeing the sentiments across all the channels that we watch and monitor and giving a wrap up of sorts, you know, like what we think is going on and what would really help people out right now. So I think it would be a good idea to maybe just kind of start with how we're feeling as consumers, because, you know, Danny, you and I have talked about this a lot lately, especially with a new little baby in the picture. It's really rough out here.
Yeah, actually, I was having this conversation with a couple of folks that, you know, people usually will get to see, like, hey, how's the movie industry is doing, right? So, like, let's say a movie like Furiosa that just came out like a couple days ago.
Furiosa.
Yeah, Mad Max, yeah. Yeah, it's part of the saga and everything. But, yeah, it came out a couple of days ago, and it only made, I think, maybe $31 million over the weekend. And this movie, I think the budget was like really high. It was like over 100 something million dollars. I think it was like 130, I think it was. And people were calling it a flop. So once that news came out, there was a lot of discussions like, why are people not going to the movies? Are they just waiting for the movie to come out digital so people could rent it? Or maybe it will be available on a stream service? Like, for example, Fall Guy came out. I remember this was at the theater, got, you know, decent reviews. And it was already digital after 3 weeks, you know? So, like, the industry was kind of mad. Like, the movie industry in general, like, hey, why would they release this so quick? But then the audience is like, oh, man, I can find this, watch this at home. I don't have to go to the movies. Meanwhile, the movie's expensive. So I think the conversation of that, right, and plus now with games, you know, games being $70, not knowing, a lot of young folks don't know this, but in the 90s, games was even more expensive. It was like all over the place from like 90, 100 bucks, all that stuff. But now it's different. I think now people are being very cautious on like what to buy, where to go, if it's movies or just hang out, you know, at home.
Or vacations, trips.
Or vacation, like that. Yeah. Yeah, people are trying to save money as much as possible. You know, a lot of us, you know, we have a lot of bills. Family, you know, people are being really careful about that. You know, I'm not saying not to do anything, you know, it's do whatever you want with your money, but I think people are just being more smart on the things that they're going to do with their money from now on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important to call it out. Like you have, right? Like folks are squeezed right now. You know, there's obviously a lot of economic tension in the United States, you know, country we reside in and other places as well. And a lot of folks are feeling that their future is uncertain, right? Like it's really difficult to depend on job stability the way we used to be able to. Older generations could stay in the same role and, you know, retire and get a pension. And, you know, they're guaranteed to, you know, consistently move up or at least maintain their position for years, maybe decades. We don't have that certainty anymore. And so it's really tough to, you know, look at your discretionary income and think, okay, let me do every single thing I'm interested in when there's just so much stuff to consume, right? Like we have all kinds of streaming services. There is still traditional cable out there. Some people still have it. You know, we have cell phone bills and internet lines. And, you know, we're all subscribed to these different services now. And if a gaming subscription is in there, if it's not, then, you know, your hobby is even more expensive and you're buying individual titles. Like it can really add up. And it's tough when, you know, the cost of living is going up and up and up as well. And Danny, you and I are homeowners. Not many people in our age ranges have that capability. And it's really difficult to justify, you know, casual spending when, you know, basic necessities like food or like eggs, like gas, like flour, like whatever it is you need to buy are just constantly increasing. And it doesn't seem like there's any end in near sight for the continuous inflation of prices and, you know, things to keep creeping up on us and under this, you know, larger umbrella of capitalism that we can go down that road in another episode. But all of that to say, stuff costs a lot. People don't have as much as they would like. And, you know, they got to be really choosy. And I've actually seen there's been studies and different questionnaires done where people are even taking their subscription services on and offline as they have things that come out that they're interested in. So they'll, you know, let's say you have a Hulu and a Paramount Plus and a Netflix and a Disney, and you have Hulu and Disney for these months, and then you take them off whenever those releases are done. And then you have Paramount Plus for whatever that season of show that you're looking for. And then maybe you jump into Netflix, but only when, you know, the next Bridgerton drops. So it's people trying to be conscientious of their spending, which they should. But at the end of the day, when it comes to video games, the price of games, as you said, Danny, has not really gone up over the years. It's been $70 for a premium game for a long time. And the cost of making games has continued to rise. And while there are obviously many practices across the gaming industry, especially the AAA space, which are, you know, not very sustainable and not the fault of the people who are making the choices to create the games, the people who are selling them are not raising the prices, and, you know, the industry is suffering because of that. So at the end of the day, what do you do?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's different things you could do. And it also depends what type of console you have. So, like, for example, if you have Nintendo Switch, you know, what options you have is either buy the game or just wait until the prices go down, right?
But which is not as easy with Nintendo, because they are known to create false scarcity, and they don't really do many, many sales compared to other platforms. So it's tough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. But let's say you have Xbox subscription, then you have an option to download multiple games using Xbox Game Pass, which is available on console and also PC. And here's another thing too, Reem. There is still people to this day, they have the original Xbox One.
Yeah.
The last console, last generation. And people are subscribed using the Xbox Game Pass, right? But what they're doing is playing new Xbox Series X and S games through the cloud using that old console, because they're like, I'm not going to spend that much money to buy a new console. I could still play you know, these games. And plus, I could still get those games that are still available. There's on Game Pass. There's also available on Xbox One. And now let me go back to, because I think recently it was announced that Call of Duty Black Ops 6 is coming out later this year. But it's also releasing on the older consoles, which is Xbox One and PlayStation 4. The majority of players still play those old consoles. They don't plan to buy the new ones because they can still play. Look, that crowd, a lot of them, they play maybe like a couple games a year that they'll buy, like maybe two games a year, maybe sometimes even one, and that's it. Because that's, if they invest $60-$70, that's like a whole year plus, you know, even more. You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
It can be, depending on the game.
So, I mean, that's one option. Another option, what I mentioned about Xbox Game Pass, like, for example, Call of Duty, it is going to be available on Game Pass for the first time there this year. So that's another way where maybe you pay for a month, like you said, Reed, maybe change it around, maybe pay monthly. You know, maybe you want to try it out and stuff like that. But I think that's another way for you to save money. There's also other ways where people have done it too for streaming services. Like, they'll have like a family pack, or they buy one service and they'll share with other people. Like, there's different ways how to save money, you know. It's getting really, really complicated. And I think now Disney and a couple other companies are cutting that off. Like, if you're still sharing with other people, they're like, well, if you want to share, you need to pay an additional money, or the account is not gonna work anymore, you know. So
yeah, that's tough.
It's complicated.
And if you have a PlayStation, there's PS Plus, there's Ubisoft, there's EA Play, like there's so many different game subscription and streaming services, just like there's so many movie and TV streaming services. So like you said, it's so complicated these days. And you know, if we're talking about, you know, sort of like the main point of this conversation of like, what are people looking for? What gamers really want? I think right now, more than anything, they want simplicity. You know, if you tell a customer like, hey, you pay $10 a month here, $5 there, $6 here, another $12 over there, and then you can play this game sometimes, but then if you're in this country, you can't play this other game, looking at Helldivers too. And if you're, you know, in this other place, then you can, you have a whole different library, but maybe you could VPN and get all of them, and that's complicated, and a lot of people don't even know how it works, and you have to sign up for another service in order to get a VPN. It gets really confusing. And if you're the average person with the average amount of time and energy and the average amount of money, wouldn't it be easier if you could say, hey, you pay $25 and you can play X, Y, and Z, and that's it. But I don't see a very clear one-stop shop, one-step solution for people that gives that simplicity. And so we're forced to navigate this, you know, cacophony of services in order to play different experiences. And, you know, we can maybe take a second to talk about exclusives, because that landscape is changing right now. Because again, people who are locked into one console or one ecosystem want to play other things that may be exclusive to another ecosystem. And it's really a disservice to, at the end of the day, the people making the game if it's withheld from this widest possible audience, because so many people can't make the choice to play every single console, right?
Yeah, but also another thing we forgot to mention too, Ree, there's a lot of free-to-play games where people been enjoying that, and they don't care whatever comes out retail, they don't care. They'd rather just play Apex Legends, Fortnite is still strong, Roblox, still strong. Yeah. Roblox, there's also a Warzone, right? I think there's a couple other ones too. Like I think just recent now, X Defiant. I've got the jersey right here. That's a free to play game. You know, people play that, and you can still play that also on the old consoles. You don't need to do that.
A lot of those you can play on your phone. You don't even need a console at all.
Or tablet.
Too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And granted, not everybody has a phone, but I mean that's even an easier sell, right? Because it's more common than any of these consoles are talking about. But again, yeah. Like, I go back to the point that I'll throw to you, Danny. Like, what is it that you think people are looking for when it comes to game exclusivity? And like, what would be the best for the gamers?
Man, the best thing right now is confident. Like, is the game pretty good? A lot of back then, you know, when I was growing up, a lot of people will just read the magazines and see, hey, is this game is getting a good review or not before buying the game. Back then was a little bit more harder because it's like you have to wait once a month for a magazine to come out. And now within minutes, you see all types of reviews, old and new, of different games, you know, through YouTube or social media, even TikTok, like, you know, short form content. So I think people are being more picky than ever on like, is this is pretty good or not? You know, I'm not saying not to read like the major media outlets, but I think people are being like a lot smarter of like, okay, is this game going to be worth my money paying $40 to $70 or even more sometimes if when they get like early access, which a lot of companies have been doing that now. Like, for example, I think Call of Duty have done that where the game
you can
comes
play six
out,
days early with
6 days early. You pay like $100-something extra, yeah. You know, for that amount, and you get it early. I think Forza Horizon, they've done that too. Mm-hmm. So people are just being more picky, and I don't blame them because.
Well, how does that enter the conversation with exclusives though? Like what are people looking for when it comes
that's
to
what
that?
I was about to say, with exclusives, you know, it's what I said in the beginning: confidence, and is it worth investing that money? So people want to see. Is the game going to be good for them to invest some money? So, like, for example, the conversation that we were seeing a lot was recently Hellblade. You know, for me, I really like that game. It's an exclusive for Xbox, right? I think that they've been promoting this for a while now. Back in 2019, that was like the first time we got to see that, you know? Mm-hmm. So the game comes out and the discussion is like, okay, is it worth paying $40 or $50 for that game? But the game is only 8 hours long. You know, some people want a longer game. You know, not all games are going to be like that. You know, so that's a conversation, Ree. It's an exclusive, but is it long? Is it good for one player? Some people want to have multiplayer. They don't care about single player games. You know, like Call of Duty comes every year. There's people that even play the campaign. They just strictly go to the multiplayer, and that's it. You know, so I think when I say confidence, also is the companies being very consistent on releasing good games. You know, for me, Nintendo been doing a really great job on releasing games that is for me. It's not for everybody. That I feel confident to go to the store or maybe their eShop to buy the game. Or some people feel the same way about PlayStation, you know? So it all depends on that, Ree. I think it's more about confidence, because if there's no, let's say the company's been releasing stuff that's not consistent. A lot of them are bad. Maybe once in a while you see a good game here and there. People are going to be like, they're going to wait. Either wait until there's like a sale, right? During like a holiday season, let's say Black Friday, which a lot of people do. Or maybe sign up to a subscription service, PlayStation Plus or Xbox, which is a lot easier to take that risk of downloading those AAA exclusive games and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting split, and I think a lot of folks in the industry are looking to define what percentage of folks land on either side mm-hmm. when it comes to what gamers or the audience is looking for with exclusives, because you have folks on one side who would like to play whatever they want to play no matter what system they have. Right, they've made an investment in this piece of hardware or a PC or even their phone, which is an investment, and they want to be able to play a game without any strings attached, right? Without the complication. Again, we're going back to simplicity. But then mm-hmm. there's another group of people who, I'm not sure how large of a group this is, but they're very vocal, especially on Twitter, about wanting things to stay exclusive and wanting things to be only available on a platform that they prefer. For, mm-hmm. I guess what they think is like the longevity of the brand of the hardware, which is an interesting argument. And I can see how at one point in time, that is how things worked, right? You would see Call of Duty co-branded with Xbox, and so people bought more Xboxes. And then you see Call of Duty co-branded with PlayStation, and people buy more PlayStations. Sure, mm-hmm. that is how things could work at a point in time. But now, that doesn't seem to be driving hardware sales the same way it used to. Because I think maybe to your point, people aren't as confident in these exclusives as they used to be, right? Like, there are some that are fantastic. Like, you see your Horizons, you see your God of Wars, like, you see your Final Fantasies. But if those games are stellar and they sell gangbusters, but are only allowed to be sold to one platform's audience, it's hard for them to make their money back. And as mm-hmm. we said before, games are more expensive than ever to make. And there are so many people losing their livelihoods who are creating quality work. And if it's because a game is not as financially successful as whoever decided it should be, it's really the setup. Right? Like they're set up to fail. And it's a shame, right? Like it would be better for the people making the games, and it'd be better for the people who want to play them if anybody can buy it, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah. What do you think about the split between things? We should still have exclusivity to drive, you know, walled gardens that have people feeling like they're investing in their own platform, but also making sure that games are available as widely as possible to make their money.
Here's the thing, and I'm glad you mentioned Square Enix with Final Fantasy, because that's an exclusive for PlayStation. I think the Final Fantasy Rebirth and also the remake both came out on PlayStation. Then a year later, I think for the remake game, that came out for PC, but no Xbox, no Nintendo Switch. But guess what? Remake made a lot of money during that time. There was a lot of users with PlayStation 4. Now with PlayStation 5, it's been kind of weird the past couple of years. Like, we see the numbers of like a phenomenal game like Ratchet and Clank, mm-hmm. Returnal, and so on.
Award-winning games,
and those numbers are not that big. Now, recently with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Square Enix said, "Hey, look, we didn't make our money. I think for them right now, they decided to release games multi-platform because it doesn't make sense to keep it that one game on one console. Because again, like you said, Ree, we're in a different time more than ever, where companies need to make decisions where we're putting so much money, but they're not getting much in return. So we need to make these decisions. And now you have, you know, you see layoffs and all this stuff because of those decisions of having those game exclusive, right? But if you have a game like, you know, Hi-Fi Rush, Sea of Thieves, that's been out now for over a while now, right?
Yeah.
It's okay to release that on other platforms. Like, I see that's a good thing because, you know, back then, you know, I didn't have much money to buy every single game back in the days of like Nintendo, Super Nintendo's days, right? I had to be trading with friends. Like, hey, you have that game, I'll give you mine. Let's trade. Like, it was a lot easier for me to, you know, talk to my friends. Let's do some trading. Now, there's games that come out, but there's no physical. Now it's all digital. So you can't be trading games like that. You can even go to the store to buy a used game more like for the most recent games, you know. Things are changing. Companies are making decisions that it's going to affect everyone. And I just want people to prepare themselves because we're going to see more of this in the future. This that we got to see recently, a couple months ago, with Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment, all those games that was Xbox exclusive, but now it's coming out on other platforms. We're going to see more of that. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the most recent one, Hellblade, in the future, maybe a year, 2 years from now on PlayStation. And guess what? That's okay because I love that game. I love the studio. The dev team made an amazing game, and I want them to succeed. One thing, Ree, before we continue, I was at DICE and we were having this conversation, you know, with different developers that are part of the industry for a while now about Xbox releasing games multi-platform. And they were like, you know what? The developers I had the conversation at DICE, they were like, I would like to see that more, man. I wish more people could play my games, our games that we worked on for a very long time. You know, the more, the better.
Of course they want more people to play their games.
Exactly. The more, the better. I think the people that are, you know, freaking out and not agreeing with this move, it's a very small percentage of people because the average person doesn't even know that Xbox made that decision. They don't know. The majority of people don't know.
Yeah, I think in kind of tying into the next point, what people do know is that when there's a huge boom and all of a sudden there's more people playing the game that they love already, right? So, you know, we've seen this with Fallout recently because, you know, we've talked on the show about the Fallout TV series, which huge fans here. And that show brought so many people to the Fallout games. And I'm talking multiple Fallout games, right? Like, you're seeing Fallout 76, you're seeing Fallout 4, you're seeing Fallout Shelter, the mobile game, like blowing up in the charts and people finding it for the first time or going back to it and seeing what's been updated and what's new and optimized and feels and plays better. You're seeing like whole communities pop up around these games that, you know, maybe tried it a little bit and then fell off and now they've come back to it or they've never even played a Fallout game in their lives. And it's really exciting to see these games that people have poured their hearts into over the years, you know, get another breath of fresh air. And that's only possible when you allow a community to really rally around a game. And the best way to build a community around a game is to make sure it's as big as possible, right? And don't cut people off before they get a chance to find something. I fall into the camp of more is more, right? I don't hate exclusivity by any means. I think there are times and places where it makes sense, you know, financially or structurally or for the resourcing. But the more people who can play a game, the better for everybody involved, if it's possible. And, you know, why not just welcome everybody to the party? At the end of the day, whoever's holding the keys, you know, gets to collect all the door passes and, you know, gets their coins for all of the work of hosting the party. But you know, everybody there is having a great time, and it increases the energy around it. It increases the sales overall, increases the momentum, which is really what it takes these days to sort of rise above all the noise. Like, we saw the success of Helldivers, despite it being a Sony exclusive. It is also on PC, as you mentioned. And people got so excited about that, right? Like, even the fact that PC players are playing with PlayStation folks, and, you know, that there's this online community that's really fun, and they're, you know, they're sharing memes and, you know, saying for democracy, and you know, you have bug accounts tweeting like, oh, I don't like Helldivers, they're killing too many bugs in that game. Like, it's fun. And you don't really get that when you cut the audience in half or in a third, right? It's just not as many people talking about the cool thing that's going on. So I hope that we see more of the keys being sort of passed around and, you know, more people invited to the party. Of course, it's not always, you know, feasible. I get that. But I don't see it as a bad thing by any means, if it's what we need to do to keep this industry sustainable. And, you know, ultimately, that's what we would like. And it's not happening very well right now. So if that's a way to do it, then I say go for it. And honestly, this may be controversial, but while we're at it, games should probably not only be $70 if you're buying it full retail. Like, it's ridiculous to think that the price of a movie ticket has gone up, what, 150%?
But here's the thing.
Games haven't increased a dollar.
But here's the thing. A lot of people don't look at the schedule, but if you go early on depending on the day, the movies will be very cheap, but people don't see that.
Okay, and there's matinee, discounted ways to get games too. I understand that, but honestly, like, this incredible hobby that we are a part of and that we enjoy, and, you know, this process that is like damn near magic, right? Game development is unreal, and I don't mean that as a pun for the engine. Like, it's truly unbelievable what people can make. That we are able to just pick up our phone and just play, or pick up a PlayStation controller, or pick up a mouse and keyboard and just play.
I could play right now.
It's unbelievable, right? Yeah. And I personally want to see the people who make that possible get to eat and support their families.
Yeah.
You know, and if it means that we pay a little bit more for the hobby that we've chosen to enjoy, I would do it. And I know a lot of people would. I know it's not possible for everybody, but if we're forced to live in this world where we have all of these different subscription models thrown in our faces at every possible turn for every form of entertainment we could possibly want, whether it's music or books or TV or movies or games, you know, let's at least make it a livable profession for people.
You know what? One thing I want to bring up before we wrap it up is one thing I've been noticing is how companies market not only their games but also like music and movies. Previously, and it all depends on the game and the movie and music too. So like let's say for the gaming side, back in the days, I remember companies would promote the game for like a year, announce it, show a lot of clips,
promote it.
Nowadays, because of the attention span, because there's so much content, there's so much stuff going on that people will forget easily. Now companies are promoting something in a couple weeks before the release of the game, you know, in different ways. Billboard, maybe just promoting different like social media sites and stuff like that, or maybe have like a big ad on TV if there's like a sporting event that's like that has like a lot of big ratings and stuff like that, right? With music, just today, like I was just reading that Eminem is releasing an album. Very recent, right? So his first single is coming out this Friday. It's called Houdini. I think it's Houdini. Yeah. So I bet you his album is not gonna be coming out like in 2-3 months. That's like very, very soon. Sometimes like artists like that you like, Ree, Beyonce, she just released an album.
Yeah, no promo
on the spot, no promo, because the fans are promoted. It will get trend. You know,
the community will trend it. Your marketing and it's such a huge shift that I don't think everybody's really caught on to it. And I've actually been thinking about this a lot recently. And you know, it's the larger discussion of like what gamers are looking for. What a lot of companies have picked up on, or a lot of these games that are free to play or low cost, and you have cosmetics and different things you can buy within the game to keep the profit flowing. They look for what they call whales, right? The handful of people, the small percentage that are spend a lot of money in a game, and the majority of people don't spend a ton, but you know, they're just there for the fun. But what I think a lot of developers and publishers don't realize is that whales can't swim without water. Like, you can't have some people who are super invested in something that will be your champions and your main cheerleaders without the backup, right? Without the water for them to swim in, without the community to support the thing that makes it cool to spend money in it. You know, like nobody's going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in, yes, some people do, in a game if no one else is playing it. Right? Like, you don't do that on your own. You do that because there's a large community and it's exciting and it makes you happy and it gives you an escape or it gives you some other way to see the world and you want to invest in that. Like, that is what makes something successful these days, is a community behind it. Like, you don't get this many seasons of Bridgerton without the community behind it. Like, you don't get, you know, this kind of reaction to, you know, Helldivers changing their PSN requirements on Steam because without a community reacting to the news and the change. Like there's something to be said for how powerful a community is and how important it is to be invested in and how important it is for it to be taken seriously, but not like allow it to bully a developer or publisher into making decisions that aren't good for them long term, right? Like community management is just so tricky and so important. And I would love to see community managers getting more respect and more autonomy to do what they're really, really good at and to not be thrown to the wolves anytime something goes wrong and doxxed and threatened and then fired. It's just the work that they do is so important and so critical to this industry. And it is the future of this industry. I truly believe that. And, you know, I'm very passionate about it, so I'm getting a little emotional, so I'll back off. But community management is just, it cannot be overlooked. And it's so important to marketing. It's so important to the longevity of everything that we do. And, you know, that's either in entertainment or in life. You know, the community is so important. It's been important to us and our ability to thrive, the community we've built around ourselves and our life and our family. And, you know, we should all be really mindful of that and try to be more conscientious of how we're reflecting the community in our own spaces. So I think at the end of the day, what I'm looking for as a gamer are positive communities, things that are fun, things that are easy. I like to play games with other people. It's how I connect to other people. There are definitely single player games that I like to vibe out to and, you know, escape and disconnect from the world. But truthfully, I'm looking for something that gives me energy and doesn't take it away. And, you know, that's been my pie in the sky for gaming's experiences this recent few years.
Yeah, for me, I just been picky with what I'm gonna buy. Like, just today I bought the Rogue Prince of Persia game.
Yeah,
early access, very cheap. Also Hades couple weeks ago too. Like, I love single player games. You know, I'll play multiplayer, but man, I just, like you said, Ree, I just want to zone out and just buy, not worry about what other teammates are doing in a match. You know, I think there's a time and place for that. But, you know, discovering indie games or going back to old games like Fallout, like after watching the Fallout series, man, that made me want to go and download the game. There's people you that and never played it.
Millions of other people.
Yeah, they bought it. It was very cheap.
Yeah.
And they took advantage of that, got to play the, you know, the game and everything like that, you know. So, yeah, I just want to say that I think for us, we should just be a lot smarter on what type of things we're planning to, like, invest our money and our time. Just be smart. Do your research. You know, don't just spend money just because it's a new release of your favorite brand. You know, be smart about it, because let me tell you, money is getting tight. Man. You know, so, but yeah, but I think this was a great conversation we had, Ree, about this overall, in my opinion.
Yeah, and there's lots of other breakout conversations that we could have maybe down the line if we have the energy for it, about, you know, gaming journalism falling away and true critical media not being invested in by the audience. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why it's getting harder and harder to support a hobby that we really love. So,
agreed.
Like you said, be smart with your money. Try to invest in things that bring you joy and, you know, do the best that you can to support things when you don't have the funds to do so.
Now, anything else, Ree, before we wrap it up?
That's it. I mean, I'm glad I have Hades, and I'm glad we have X Defiant. Like, a little bit of both worlds.
X Defiant right here. Free-to-play game. Free to play game. No, I just want to say, everybody, thank you so much for watching our videos. Especially our last episode did pretty good. Like,
yeah, that was awesome.
Because we usually don't look at the numbers like that. Like, you know, we're like, hey, we just love to record, and you know, yeah, we just want to get support from people. You know, but what we love to see is feedback, comments. You know, people posting on like different platform, podcast platform like Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Just post a review, comments, anything about the show. Tell us maybe topics that you would like for us to talk about too. That would be really great. We get like submissions from our community of listeners. You know, so I've been having a great time just having different conversations. It's very different from our current gaming shows, you know. This is like a different thing, you know.
It's a nice excuse for us to have an adult conversation that's not about baby Tylenol or diapers or wet wipes.
Yes. Yeah, very much. Very much. But now, everyone, thank you so much for watching. And we'll be back next week with more content. And actually,
Summer Game Fest episode?
Summer. I think we should do a Summer Game Fest episode before Summer Game Fest, right? We should do that.
Before the madness.
Oh, my God. It's going to be wild. But everyone, thank you for watching or listening to the show. Until next time, we're out.
Bye.